Hello, everybody on Facebook Live and also on Zoom. Welcome to Brain Yoga Session 2. Today, I have a little bit of magic in store for you. So if you've not experienced my prior brain yoga sessions, my prior staying sane in trying time sessions, then what we're going to do today is going to feel a little bit like magic because it's going to very rapidly change the way you feel. I don't care where you're starting from. If you do the stuff that I'm leading you, guiding you through, you're going to feel different. And I'm hoping you're going to feel different in a way that's a more desirable, more empowering, more flexible, and resilient state. So how does that sound to you? Good? Yes? Power? Magic? Let's do some magic here today. Okay. So we're going to start today with a meditation as usual. And today's meditation is going to be a compassion meditation, which I think is appropriate for the times we're in. We have some police brutality happening and, you know, innocent people losing their lives for no discernible good reason. We have a lot of anger. We have a lot of pain. We have a lot of unfortunate people. And hey, we're kind of those unfortunate people too right now. I mean, if you've got a pandemic and a riot and in some cases earthquakes hitting you, then you are also worthy of compassion. So why don't we get started with a little compassion meditation? So in Buddhist practice, this is called metta or loving kindness meditation. And why don't we begin by having you all mute yourselves. Make sure you're muted, unless you want your snores to go on the recording. And then we will begin. All right, take a deep breath and close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, I invite you to imagine somebody in your life for whom you feel enormous love and compassion. Maybe the person for whom it's easiest for you to feel love and compassion. This could be a child. This could be a pet. This could be some public figure whom you dote upon. Whoever it is, pick that one person for whom it's incredibly easy to feel compassion. And sometimes it's easier to do this with your eyes closed. But if you want to have your eyes open, that's okay too. So go ahead and do that now. Find that person. And then feel that intense love and compassion you have for this person. And notice how incredibly easy it is. For me, it would be my niece or one of the kids of my friends. And imagine yourself sending that feeling, that emotion to that person. And maybe even imagine that person is standing in a hologram in front of you and you're sending that beam of compassion towards them, connecting at the level of head, heart, and body. And then say silently to yourself, or even out loud if you wish, may you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be at ease. May you be healthy. And notice how incredibly natural and easy it is for you to do that for this person that you have picked. And then imagine that person saying the same back to you. May you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be healthy. May you be at ease. Great. And then you do a little ceremonial bow, thank that person as we move on to the next person. The next person, the next hologram you are going to summon is going to be of somebody whom you also care about, but perhaps there are some issues. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. It's someone whom you like, but it's not quite the same as the neighborhood cat or, you know, toddler kid of your friend. And with this person who is slightly more difficult to love wholeheartedly, go ahead and bring that same quality and intensity of compassion you had with the first person. Now that you've practiced this opening of your heart, do the same with this person. It's a hologram. They won't tell the real person, really. It's fine. So go ahead and feel it again and send it. Imagine that beam connecting you two. Maybe that beam has a color too. And say silently or out loud even, say, may you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be at ease. May you be healthy. And then receive it in turn. Have the hologram of that person say to you, may you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be healthy. May you be at peace. Great. Really take it in. Feel that as we move on to the next person. Next person is someone for whom you have neutral feelings. It could be a passerby. It could be the last person who helped you pack your groceries at the store. Could be anybody, really. Could be the bus driver. Go ahead and do the same exercise to this person now. May you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be at peace. May you be healthy. And go ahead and imagine that beam of light, that big, wide beam of compassion moving from you to that person so they really receive it. And then have that person send it right back to you. Total stranger says to you, may you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be healthy. May you be at peace. Take that in with your heart open now. We move on to the next person. This is somebody who's very difficult to love. This may even be somebody you despise. In the interest of the effectiveness of the brain yoga session, I encourage you to find somebody who's very, very difficult to love. Let's just say I had certain politicians in mind for the past couple of years. And so you go ahead, and for this person who is incredibly difficult to love, you do the same thing. You open up the same amount of heart, compassion, loving kindness, energy, and you say, may you be at peace. May you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be healthy. And you have that same person, their hologram, say to you, may you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be at ease. May you be healthy. And the importance of doing it for somebody who is actually very difficult to love, for somebody who may even find undeserving of this compassion, is that anybody who's acting out in the way that this odious person is probably going through a lot of pain. So if they were to be at ease, if they were to be happy, if they were to be healthy and joyous, they would be most likely much less of a pain in the ass of the world. So you're actually doing the world a service by sending this compassion to this difficult, odious person. And you're also strengthening your own compassion muscle. As we move on to the next person, for some of you, this person's very easy to send compassion to. For other person, it's the most difficult person in the world. This next person is you. So go ahead and imagine a hologram of yourself standing before you. And send that same energy you had before, that same feeling of deep loving kindness. And go ahead and say, may you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be safe. May you be healthy. Go ahead and send that beam of light, whatever color loving kindness and compassion is to you, send it to that person. And then receive it right back from that person as he or she says, may you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be at ease. May you be healthy. Now, this last part is where the magic happens. You've already done the easy person that's so easy to love, the slightly more difficult person, the total stranger, the odious one, and finally yourself. And you've also practiced receiving it. Now I want you to imagine that you are flying above the surface of the earth so far away that you can see the whole earth spinning. I want you to see every other person who is also engaging in this compassion meditation right now. Because guess what? By the screen of this Zoom and also Facebook, you are not alone. And in addition to these people, there are also thousands, if not millions of other people who are doing the same thing, wishing compassion, wishing loving kindness to everybody. So go ahead and see all those points of light. Each person who's doing the compassion meditation is a point of light. And see all of them. And notice that you are not alone. Feel the community of bodhisattvas, of people who are here to help one another grow and achieve some form of salvation in this lifetime. And go ahead and say to all of them, may you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be at ease. May you be healthy. And now feel their thundering response to you, all of these people who are also doing compassion meditation, right back to you saying, may you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be at peace. May you be healthy. And now do a little rejoicing that you are all in this together. You and all these thousands upon thousands of points of light spinning around the globe. You are all doing this together. And feel a little bit of that rejoicing like you're in a big stadium, an Earth-sized stadium. Close your eyes and take it all in. Take in the rejoicing, the togetherness. And now send this to everybody, all sentient beings on Earth and beyond. And go ahead and say to them, may you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be at peace. May you be healthy. Imagine that beam of light that you were sending to each individual now engulfing the entire planet. So it's glowing with that same color. Take it all in. And if you want to anchor it, go ahead and press your left thumb and middle finger together. This will be your metta meditation anchor. Anytime you go like this again, which looks kind of like a mudra actually, you can feel that deep compassion instantly being summoned again. As we close this metta, loving kindness meditation together, may you be happy. May you be at ease. May you be at peace. May you be healthy. And gradually open your eyes and look up here as we bring you back to the room, because the magic has just begun. And feel free to open your video. The purpose of this is partially to do the meditation and make you feel better. Purpose is also to make me feel better. So I know that there are people out there who are responding to what I'm saying. Hello, good to see you. And Trish, I see some familiar faces. And also see one another. So the whole exercise with the bodhisattvas spinning around the world, all the points of light, that's the rejoicing in that, hey, look, we have like-minded folks. We are not alone. And in fact, I'd like to make the motto for the next election to be, we are the majority. The good people, the nice people, the well-meaning people, the decent people, we are the majority. So don't let the turkeys get you down. Show up here, show your face, and let yourself be known. So the format is I'm going to do another talk about 15 to 20 minutes. And if you have questions, feel free to already put them in the chat. I will attend to them later. And also, I want to make it interactive. I want you to actually respond and say what's on your mind. And perhaps we can address that right here in real time and do some magic, because the magic is about to continue. I have more stuff for you. So today, I'd like to teach you some techniques for handling difficult emotions. Because, well, that's maybe a little redundant. Maybe all emotions are kind of difficult. I mean, joy, okay, joy, not so difficult. But a lot of people are experiencing strange things happening right now. So emotions that you have shared with me in past seminars and also online by email, frustration, fear, insecurity, living with difficult roommates, also known as family members, or roommates. And how do you shield yourself against these unpleasant emotions that other people are maybe inflicting upon you? So these are all challenging things you're going through. So so a brief primer on emotions. So emotions are our survival mechanisms. And over the course of millions of years of evolution, our brains have evolved to develop these systems, which are kind of these early response systems saying, hey, there's something you need to respond to. And emotion, roughly the etymology is emotion is movement, and E means out. So moving out, moving towards. So it's all about movement. It's all about things moving in you, your body moving. So the last thing you want to do to something that wants to move is to bottle it up and just press it down and go, emotion, you don't really exist. Well, if you felt it, it exists. And doing more and more of this type of meditation allows you to get more in touch with those emotions and acknowledge them and notice them and also not be afraid of them. So step number one is to recognize the emotion and acknowledge it. And recognize that no matter how unpleasant the emotion may feel at the moment, it's actually trying to help you. It's like you've got these little helpers and they only know to do one thing. It's like, look at me, problem. And, you know, sometimes it's not really a problem. So you thank them anyway and say, hey, thanks for doing your job. It's like a smoke alarm that went off without any smoke, right? It's making this infernal noise, but it's really trying to save you. So recognize the emotion, be thankful for the emotion. And as Pema Chodron likes to say in her excellent book, When Things Fall Apart, the more we learn to lean into the sharp points of life, the more we get used to that, the more we actually become comfortable with the discomfort. And the ultimate comfort is to be comfortable with discomfort. I mean, if you can sleep on jagged pebbles and rocks, then you can sleep anywhere. That means you're pretty much invincible. So this is a practice of learning how to become comfortable with the discomfort. Okay, so first step is to notice the emotion, feel it, and acknowledge it, and maybe even thank it. Second step is to name it. So what does that mean? That means you just say, oh, frustration, I feel you. Oh, fear, I feel you. Oh, massive annoyance from family member, I feel you. What does this do? And I want you to actually say it out loud. So one of my mental health heroes is Dr. Dan Siegel. And he's written such amazing books as Aware and Mindset. And he's just come up with all these new paradigms for what is mental health. And he defines mental health along a spectrum. So on one spectrum, you have chaos. So chaos is characterized by, say, schizophrenia, where your thoughts are disordered and you're not sure what's inside and what's outside. Mania, when you're like, so mania is kind of the poster child for chaos. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have rigidity. So rigidity is like depression, stuck, can't do anything. Okay, so, and in that middle of the spectrum, that middle way, we have integration. So integration is a great word for it because it's all about the fact that your brain is not one brain, you are not one you. You are a committee of people. And sometimes you probably felt this because like, oh, part of me wants to do this. Part of me wants to, what do you mean part of you? How many of you are there? Turns out your brain is made of all these different factions, the neuroscientist Marvin Minsky, computer scientist Marvin Minsky, called it the Society of the Mind. So you have the society, and your goal is to get them to work together so they are integrated, right? So you have this emotional part of your brain, which is, you know, the limbic system. You got the amygdala, you got the thalamus, but it doesn't really hit the cerebral cortex, right? And then you have all these other parts of your brain, you know, the speech understanding, speech synthesizing. So when you name the emotion, you're basically activating all these parts to work together. So you're moving towards integration, right? And right now I want you to imagine, or maybe you already are experiencing some kind of unpleasant emotion, uncomfortable emotion. I don't like to call them negative emotions, because all emotions are by nature positive. They're doing something. It's not like a lack of emotion. It's positive. So, and it's trying to save your ass. So all emotions are kind of positive, but some of them are more comfortable than others. So imagine the uncomfortable emotion you're feeling right now, and go ahead and feel a little bit of it. Or maybe you don't even have to try. It already feels pretty crappy. So go ahead and give yourself a little sample of that, okay? And now what I want you to do is to say out loud, oh, I am feeling blank, name the emotion. Okay, so, and notice how you feel afterwards. So before the intensity was a certain number, and after the intensity is a different number. So go ahead and do that. I'm going to watch your lips to see if you're actually moving your lips and saying, oh, I am feeling blank. Blank, by the way, does not count as an emotion. Get your own emotion. All right, good. All right, good. So you did it. Okay, and how did that feel? How many of you had that emotion kind of become more manageable? Yes? More manageable? Yeah, there you go. It does become more manageable, especially if you make this a habit. Okay, so, and I want you to make this a habit. Actually, name it to tame it. That's the term that Dan Siegel likes to use. I like it too. If it rhymes, it must be true. So name it to tame it. Okay? Okay. Great. So that's one way you can actually diminish the impact of the emotion. It's already become more manageable, and that's all we want. We just want to make it more manageable so we can live with this emotion, right? And the saying that I like is that pain happens, but suffering is optional. So pain, it's going to happen. You're going to stub your toe. Somebody's going to say something mean to you and go, ooh, because the mechanism for feeling pain is automatic. It's trying to protect you. However, the suffering afterwards, that is often self-inflicted. So why don't we just make a pact right now not to prolong the suffering and instead use techniques like this to make it all much more manageable? Yes? We can live with that? Okay, good. Now here comes the nuclear phase of uncomfortable emotion management, okay? So for this, you may have to stand up. Okay, so all right, let's see if I can stand up and still be in the screen. Stand up, still on screen? Wow, that's totally not going to work, is it? All right, I'm not going to stand up because then I'm decapitated and that just looks funny. But you should stand up. Okay, good. So I'll do it sitting down. It can still work sitting down, but standing up is much better. Good. So we're going to do a little razzle-dazzle here. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. All right, take a deep breath and close your eyes. And as you do that, I'm going to ask you something unusual, which is to go ahead and feel some of that uncomfortable emotion right now. So if it's a particularly uncomfortable emotion, consider this your therapy session and allow yourself to feel it completely. I mean, that because what we're going to do is going to give you a way of taming it, like for good. You can deal with it like this and get really good at it. So the more you feel it, the more you will feel the contrast between the before and the after. And give yourself a rating right now on the intensity of this uncomfortable emotion. So if it's like, oh, totally disabling, that's a 10. If it's, yeah, I mean, it's kind of annoying, but not that bad, that's a 1. Okay, so give it a rating on a 1 to 10 scale. Good, good, good. So, good. So now what I want you to do is to really home in on where you feel this emotion in your body and maybe even point to it. So, you know, maybe frustration you feel over here. Maybe somebody, I don't know, insulted you and you feel that over here, right? Maybe somebody broke up with you or I don't know, stopped talking to you or did something mean and you feel it in your belly. Whatever it is, go ahead and find the epicenter of that emotion right now. Find it. Find out where it is. Okay, good. And now I'm going to ask you something highly unusual. I'm going to ask you, what is the color of that emotion? And everybody has a color. What is the color of that emotion? What is it looking like? Okay. And what I want you to do now is to notice what that color is. And also to notice that the epicenter of the emotion is right there where you pointed to it. But it's actually scattered all over your body in tiny little particles. Your whole body can feel that emotion. And what I want you to do is to just gather up all that emotion from all the other parts of your body and concentrate right here in this ball where it is right now. Okay? So go ahead and with each deep breath that you take in, collect all the different particles of that particular color. For me, let's say it's orange, right? Bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. And then as you breathe out, compact it like you're squishing into a ball of dough into that little epicenter you had there. Okay. So gather it up and press it in, compact it. Gather it up, deep breath in, compact it. Okay. Good. A couple more. Gather it all in. Make sure you've gathered all the emotion, all the uncomfortable emotions from all of your body, and breathe into the spot right there. Okay. On the next breath, as you breathe in, I want you to bring that ball from wherever it was down to the middle of your chest. People call it the solar plexus. It's not a scientific spot, but most people know where that is. It's the middle of you. So right there, right below your sternum, above your belly. Bring it right there. So breathe it in and move it there. And then as you breathe out, push it out of your body so it's about a foot or two outside of your body, okay? And now we're going to do something totally freaky and wild and fun. You are going to look at that ball. You're going to open your eyes. You're going to look at the ball. You're going to see that ball, and it's going to be glowing with the intensity of that uncomfortable emotion, that uncomfortable feeling you had, okay? And maybe it's spinning, maybe it's stationary, maybe it's changing color, but whatever it is, it's there now, okay? I want you to step back and imagine you have a big old tennis racket. I don't know if your favorite is a backhand or a forehand, but my backhand is pretty damn good. And pull it back, look at that thing, and when you're ready, just whack it with as much speed and power as you possibly can and watch it go wee! All the way out to the horizon as it changes color into a much more manageable emotion, changes color again, and then pew, explodes and vanishes on the horizon. All right. And now my question to you is, where is that feeling? Okay, you're all smiling. You all look lighter. Okay, so I don't even need an answer. So something just happened. So what happened? Who would like to share? And don't all of you pipe up at once. So who wants to share how they feel right now? All right, Trish is really smiling. I think she's got something to share. What's going on, Trish?
I sent it far away.
And how do you feel?
I feel great. I feel lighter.
Okay, and before you were feeling what on a scale of 1 to 10 on the misery scale?
Well, I have to say, I don't stay miserable for long.
Good.
Even with everything going on, I'm pretty okay. Able to pivot away from really uncomfortable feelings. I've worked on that.
But fantastic. Still,
it's a heavy feeling of, it's a lot of different feelings. So it's very heavy and it's very sad.
Well, if you were to humor me and give me a number before and after, what would they be?
Oh, I was probably at a 5 or 6, and now I'm probably down to a 1 or 2.
Boom! 5 or 6 went down to 1 or 2. Is this cheap therapy or what? Thank you so much for sharing, Trish. Okay, who else would like to share? And if, feel free, if you want to mention the nature of the emotion. Yes. Go ahead and speak, Anne.
Hi, I met you last year at Craft and Commerce.
Yes, you did.
I was probably wearing glasses at the time, but I was following you on Facebook and found your website and found this.
Fantastic.
At first, I think I actually had trouble naming the emotion I was feeling. I was thinking of a very generic emotion, like mm-hmm. oh, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed. And like, aren't we all, right? But I thought, okay, that's like, that's not a good enough word. It's got to be more than that. And I think I was coming up with like stifled or held back. I feel like the
I'm going to repeat what you're saying for the Facebook audience, because they can't hear the microphone. So you're feeling stifled and held back. Okay, good. And
sorry, I don't know why this wouldn't be loud enough.
Oh, it's pulling loud. It's good. I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. And I was feeling kind of the pressure in my shoulders.
Feeling pressure in your shoulders.
Like this. And it had, it's funny you said ball of dough, because I was imagining, I have kids. So I was imagining the color of like when all the Play-Dohs are all mixed together and there's this ugly grayish brown.
Okay. So you had ball of negative emotion. Okay.
Yeah, but I probably went from a 5 to a 1. So thank you.
From 5 to a 1. Fantastic. Okay, good. So this is a thank you so much for sharing. And Kay Emery, if I'm correct. So this is how you create magic in your own life. It is not that difficult. It's just that we were never taught how to run our own minds. But our minds work like this. They work in images, they work in metaphors. And something as outlandish as imagining an emotion as a color and pulling it out of your body and whacking it into outer space somehow made almost all of you feel a hell of a lot better. So the point is, there's no particular magic or specificity to the color or the kind of emotion. It works for any kind of feeling, any kind of emotion. So you can use this procedure for any kind of uncomfortable emotion that is difficult to handle. And you can do that over and over and over again. And the more you do it, the faster it works, the better it works. Okay, good. So that's the main technique I want to convey to you today. I also want to teach you very quickly how to do a little bit of self-hypnosis. So this may or may not knock you out. So make sure you're in a place where if you were to conk out, it wouldn't be a problem. So for example, if you're driving a semi right now, this would be a bad time to be hypnotized and conk out. But if you're sitting at home in a comfortable chair, totally cool. So once again, take a deep breath and close your eyes and allow yourself to take some nice deep breaths. With each deep breath, you bring in warmth and relaxation. With each deep exhalation, you can let go of any kind of distress, any kind of stress, any kind of fatigue. Bring in the positive energy as you breathe in. Let go any negative energy, just like that. And as you do that, imagine that a warm wave of relaxation is moving down your body, starting from the top of your head, the muscles of your scalp and face can just let go right now. Moving on down to the muscles of your neck, your jaw muscles that are working all day long to talk, to eat. You can just allow them to let go completely. Moving on down to the muscles of your shoulders. Shoulders holding up so much. This is a good time to let go of the weight of the world if it's on your shoulders and just relax totally. As you allow the warm wave of relaxation to move down your body, down your upper back, down your lower back, down your chest, down to your abdomen, allow that warm wave of relaxation to move down your arms, both of them, all the way down to your fingertips. Moving on down to the muscles of your buttocks and the area of your genitals. And everything inside too, all the organs, all of your torso, everything that's inside. Allow everything to relax completely. And maybe even with a little bit of playfulness, allow each organ to smile as well. The Taoists believe that all of your organs are capable of smiling. So do a little inner smile with your liver, a little inner smile with your abdomen, stomach, inner smile with your kidneys that have been taking care of you for so many years for so long. Inner smile with any other organ that is calling for your attention. As you continue to take nice deep breaths, each breath allowing you to become more comfortable and more relaxed. Each exhalation allowing you to let go of any residual tension, any residual stress. And the more you focus on the sound of my voice, the more you can relax completely. And the more you relax, the more you can focus on the sound of my voice as you allow this warm wave of relaxation to move down to your legs, front thighs, back thighs, hamstrings, buttocks, down to your knees, shins, and calves. The big muscles of your calves are supporting you when you walk, when you run. Send them some love. Send them some deep warmth and relaxation, just like that. Moving on down to the muscles of your feet, all the small muscles that are constantly adjusting when you're walking or running, helping keep you upright and balanced. Send them warmth and relaxation, allowing yourself to relax completely. Be so comfortable, so relaxed. As now you can see that this wave of relaxation has engulfed your entire body. Your entire body is this one big sheet of deep relaxation as you let it seep into you. Maybe the wave even has a color. Allow that color of relaxation to seep deep into your muscles, into the very marrow of your bones, into the insides of every organ. As you continue to feed your body with these deep breaths of relaxation, so nourishing as you slow everything down. In this state of deep comfort and relaxation, you're already doing a lot of healing. At the same time, you can also ask your unconscious now to do certain things for you because it's in a much more receptive state in this highly relaxed state. Maybe you can ask it to do this one task you've always wanted to do and make you more willing to do it. If you want to increase motivation, if you want to improve your health, maybe if you want to exercise more, this is a good time to ask very gently from your unconscious, hey, can we do more exercise in the future? Could you be kind enough to supply me with more motivation to do the things that I want to do? Can you help me heal faster? Whatever it is, go ahead and play with it. Your unconscious is remarkably responsive. You don't know what it's capable of doing until you actually ask. And when you're done asking, just go ahead and thank your unconscious. Ask whether this is a good idea, and it will tell you with a yes or no signal that will convey to you in its own special way. And then if you want to anchor this feeling, go ahead and press your other thumb and forefinger, thumb, middle finger, whatever you want. You just have to remember what it is so you can use it later. And then you can anchor this feeling of deep relaxation, of being in this altered state of receptivity and healing. As we bring you back gradually to the present time and place, counting back from the number 5, you know what this is all good for. Feeling refreshed and energized at the same time. 3, allowing yourself to gradually open up your 2 eyes and be one with the room, with the environment, feeling refreshed and energized at the same time, strangely empowered. Go ahead and shake yourself a little bit. Give yourself a few seconds to reorient to the present time and place. So that is a very quick hypnosis session. So that's how it works. You can do it yourself. In future sessions, I will teach you other ways of rapidly putting yourself into a highly receptive trance if you want to give yourself suggestions to do things, to feel better, heal faster, whatever it is you want to do. And I encourage you to play with this. You have this most amazing machine ever devised in the entire cosmos that the universe has dropped into your cranium for free. And most of us don't really use it all that much. We do abuse it a lot, but not necessarily use it the way it was meant to. So, and know that there are unplumbed depths to your mind, and you can do things with it that you didn't know you could as soon as you start to learn how to run it well. And if you would like for me to teach you how to run it better, well, here I am. We're going to be doing more of these sessions in the coming weeks. And you can also sign up to do a one-on-one session. So if you want one of those, go ahead and email me and we can set that up. If you want longitudinal coaching, we can do that. And you can also sign up for the Happiness Engineering Program, which I'll be kicking off sometime in the next month, which is basically a three-month program where you learn how to run your own mind and run your own life, basically tune up your life in five areas. So the five areas are robust relationships, meaningful work, sound sleep, mental fitness, and physical fitness. And the mental fitness part, we will definitely hit a lot of this stuff, and it's all integrated. It all feeds into one another. So so it's about 142. It's about the length of time that I said the session will take, which means that now we are in the question and answer phase. So if you want to apply for the Happiness Engineering Program, that's at happinessengineering.com/apply. I'll put that in the chat so you have it. And of course, you're welcome to email me about this. We do have some questions in the chat. So let's see what we got. Do you do this for private groups? Would love to offer this for my online course students. Yes, I can do that, Anne. I see you there. This is definitely possible. We can talk about it. Feel free to send me an email. You can, easiest one to remember is Ali at Happiness Engineering, or Dr. Ali at happinessengineering.com, or Dr. Ali B. And the place to apply for the program is happinessengineering.com. Apply. Boom. So we have a question from Sanjay. Do feelings give rise to emotions or vice versa? What is the known duration of feelings and emotions? What is mood? Is anxiety a feeling? Good Lord, this is becoming a book. A feeling emotion that I would have to write. The question itself is shorter than a book. What is anxiety? A feeling, emotion, mood disorder, or lack of homeostasis? Where do feelings and emotions arise from? Which part of the brain do all feelings and emotion belong to? That's a lot of questions. How can one positively modulate emotions and feelings in a positive fashion? These are very good questions. And it's safe to say that I will not be able to answer all of them at once. Let me see which one is the most useful here to everybody. So feelings and emotions technically are different things. So feelings are things that you feel, and emotions, well, you feel them too. But, you know, if somebody pokes you, that's not an emotion. It's just a, you know, that's just a feeling. And emotions have, I tend to think of them as those, there's a bunch of cardinal emotions, and they have a basis in neurological structure in your brain, and they have survival value. Whereas feelings, you know, if you go and you watch a movie and you didn't like it that much, that's more like a feeling rather than an emotion. What is mood? So mood, different. So I tend to think of mood as an emotion that is extended over time. So you, if you're feeling kind of low and depressed or something and it keeps on going, then that becomes a mood. So it's kind of the background of everything. And what you can do is you can use these techniques that I taught you today to gradually put a dent in that mood, that low mood, and gradually bring it up. So what you're doing is using the brain to change the brain, and you're changing the mix of the neurotransmitters that you are experiencing. And the more you do the stuff that increases your energy and makes you puts you on the side of joy, the more you will be able to feel that. So if you're experiencing something like deep depression, obviously these things help. At the same time, I encourage you to consult a professional for that. Let's see. Where do feelings and emotions arise from? So yeah, a lot of those come from the limbic system. And these are great questions. And there are books written about this that are much more eloquent than what I'm going to be able to convey to you in a minute or two. So I'm happy to recommend sources for that. All right, let's see what else we got here. What is a good life hack for naming an emotion when no names come to mind? My uncomfortable emotion is feeling stepped on or struck down by certain people, but that is a mental image, not an emotion. You know, it doesn't have to be all that complicated. So as long as it works for you, it works. And you can even give it a totally new name. You can call it Gerbla. Oh my God, I'm feeling Gerbla. Okay. And then that's it. You've got the name, right? So I got Athanasia to smile. So apparently she likes Gerbla. So the whole point is to activate these different parts of your brain by naming it to tame it. So when you say, oh, Gerbla again, oh, okay, it's Gerbla. Now the enemy has been named and it's much more easy to tame. Another thing which you can do, which is also probably something that most of you have never tried before, is to point to where it is in space. You're like, huh? Yeah, point to it. And the point is, if I ask you, hey, where is this Gerbla emotion in space in front of you? If you had a movie screen in front of you and, you know, you had to point to it, where is it, up, down, left, right, you'd point to it. You'd be like, it's there. And usually, for some strange reason, uncomfortable emotions are down. They're below the horizon. And if they're really annoying, they're down and right. They're downright annoying. And it's funny how these things which we consider to be metaphors can have actual physical correlates in real life, once you actually get inside your brain and start to be able to use it more artfully. So is that helpful, Athanasia? Is it Athanasia or is it Athanasia? You can turn on your...
Yeah, it's actually Athanasia.
Athanasia, okay.
Word. It's a Greek transliteration.
So. Okay, good. Because, yeah, that could be a Greek, that could be Polish. That, I mean, who knows? So, okay. Athanasia, fantastic. Is that helpful, Athanasia?
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, it's funny, which can help diffuse feeling anything uncomfortable.
Exactly. So that's another technique which I like a lot, which is metacognition. So what you're doing when you are naming an emotion to tame it is partially metacognition. What you're doing is you are assigning something to the feeling. So you're doing something to it. So that's meta. Your position is above that, right? If you can name something, that means you're its boss in a way. So you can also ask yourself, oh, wow, how do I feel about Gerbla? Gerbla is kind of annoying. I'm a little annoyed. Wow, I'm annoyed about this inanimate object that doesn't even exist. That's kind of funny. And suddenly you can laugh about it and go, that's hilarious. Now you're feeling mirth. So you can chain, you can concatenate these emotions to lead you to wherever you want to. You can be on the road and somebody cuts you off and you're like, screw you, bastard, right? And like, oh, I just flipped off somebody I've never met, don't know, and, you know, didn't really make me late for my appointment either, and it's not like I'm going to run out of road. That's hilarious. Now you're laughing at it. And you can also get curious. So I was like, why did I do that? And curiosity is a very different feeling. And I don't know about you, but I can only feel one emotion at a time. So once you decide to feel a new emotion, then the other emotion, you're like, where'd it go? So a lot of what happens with these uncomfortable emotions is people start wallowing. People start indulging in them. And I don't necessarily recommend wallowing. I mean, maybe that's your idea of fun, but it's not my idea of fun. So being your most empowered, active, productive self is usually not compatible with wallowing. So if you want to give your gift to the world, stop wallowing already. All right, good. Is that helpful? Any more questions?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Fantastic. All right, good. These are great questions. Okay. A Nilfire says, thank you very much. Well, you're very welcome. All right, more questions. Ooh. Okay. Okay. We have technical issues. Thank you for sharing that, Sanjay. And more questions. And if you are here in person, you have put in the effort to show up. Even if your video is obscured, feel free to go ahead and unmute yourself or reveal yourself, like the theophany of Krishna to Arjuna. Ha! I'm not just your charioteer. I am the god Krishna. So go ahead and do a theophany if you wish, or just ask the question or put it in the chat. Okay. And generally speaking, I will ask only so many times before closing the session. So if you got the questions, do it now. Guys, I charge $300 an hour for this. Come on. You can ask your questions now totally for free. So please do not be shy. All right. Thank you, Amy, for swinging by. What's the best question I've been asked during these times? Whew, these are good questions. Okay, tell you what. I will do one more razzle-dazzle magic trick because this was a question somebody asked over email, and that should bring us up to the hour. And I think you will find this very useful. So this technique, it's exactly the kind of thing that we learned in neuro-linguistic programming. So that's a branch of clinical hypnotherapy. And it's kind of shocking how well it works. So try this on. Try this on and see how it goes for you. So the question was, how do we handle difficult people? So I am sheltering in place with people who are kind of a colossal pain in the ass, and I'm not quite sure how to deal with them. So how do we handle the negativity, the negative energy coming at us? Blah. Okay, so here's one way to do it. Take a deep breath and close your eyes. And once again, use that amazing organ of imagination and power you have inside your skull called your brain. And what I want you to do is to imagine that person saying stuff that's like, you feel these beams of energy coming at you, which are unpleasant, like, nah, okay? And notice how it makes you feel. See that picture? And now go ahead and imagine you have this glass dome. Maybe, you know, it's cylindrical. Yeah. Imagine this like cylindrical dome that's exactly the size of you, right? And right now it's way above your head. And on a count of three, one, two, three, boom, you're going to drop this dome on you, and you're going to be totally comfortable in there. It's invisible to the rest of the world, but guess what? It is a shield. And notice what happens is all the stuff that these other people say bounces off, just poof, and just falls down to the side. Bounces off, falls down to the side. So the famous golfer Seve Ballesteros, this is the technique he used before he went into golf match. He won many, many golf matches. He was really good, but no, and because nobody could mess with him, he had this mental shield. So go ahead and drop the shield on you. Imagine it. And you can make it however you want that's more effective for you. You can make it shiny. You can make it made of metal. I don't care. It's your shield. It's also free. You can, you know, bedazzle it, whatever you want to do. But drop the shield and notice how you feel. Notice how inside the shield, you are impervious to all that negative energy. And smile, kind of nod, and go, yes, I hear you. Thank you. You've got your shield. Okay, good. How's that work? Shield. You dig the shield? The shield is pretty cool. All right. Good deal. All right. Question. So Priyanka, there's your bonus non-question question. So you guys are clever. What else do we have here? All right. Questions. More questions. 5 more minutes. What else is a happening? Let's see what we got here. What else is going on? If there's nothing on your minds, that is perfectly acceptable too. But if there is something on your minds, please feel free to bring it up. Oh, good question. Well, okay, this is not related to this. Do I believe in Myers-Briggs personality inventory? And so personality testing. There is one good personality test that is scientifically validated. It's called the Big Five Inventory. Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, neuroticism. So you assess people on these five axes, and they do correlate to certain neurological features, and extroversion, there seems to be genes associated with that, and agreeableness, same thing. So that's a pretty good personality inventory, and I would leave the rest alone. Okay, good. Do we have questions about you, though? Specific, if you want to, you know, generally interview me, that's totally cool, too. But this may not be the best forum for it. I'm going to a peaceful protest at 6 p.m. And how can I keep myself feeling too emotional during the walk? Oh, okay. Before that, I struggle with worry. Okay, great. Thank you for sharing. So did you want to unmute yourself and share what's going on? And I'm going to repeat what you're saying out loud for the Facebook audience just so they can hear it.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes my brain just takes over in a bad way.
Okay,
and
great.
Thinks of, comes up with issues like you were doing the meditation and I was actually feeling really good and like grounded and powerful, and then I had this thought that my kid might be drowning in the river.
Ah,
and
yes.
Of course, I had a really hard time like getting focused back.
The amazing thing. So Amy's sharing that she experiences worry. So while she was meditating, she felt really good and centered, but then suddenly in the middle of the meditation, she had this thought of her kid drowning in a river. And the amazing thing is the kids do that every day. How do you drown a river every day? That's a talent. I don't know how they do it. But and yes, you also have this disease called being mom. And, I have one of those too. And even as a seeming adult, you will call me in Buenos Aires and say, have you had lunch? Because of course, this organism is going to forget to feed itself. So we hear you moms, all of you out there. And here are some suggestions. So the short-term suggestion is whatever you did today, just do that again and really anchor yourself in the present. So if you want to pinch yourself and feel the pinch, go ahead and do that. If you want to just close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths, you can do that. So the breath thing I recommend more than the pinching, because eventually people are going to say, hey, why is your left thigh black and blue? I don't get it. But if you breathe, nobody knows you're doing it. So you just take a deep breath in. Feel the breath, feel the sensation of breath coming in through your nose and feel it coming out. Or even if you want to get really tricky, put your finger here and feel it. So the point of doing this is to anchor you in the present, because in the present, there ain't no problems. I mean, you're sitting here and it's cool. If you go into the future or the past, then problems start arising. But if you center yourself in the right now, then the worry has no choice but to vanish. Another quick thing you can do is you can take your fingers and go like this. And what you're going to do is you're going to look at me. You can look directly at the screen while you have your attention on the fingers. Okay. So attention on the fingers, looking straight ahead, attention on the fingers. So you're keeping them in your peripheral vision, attention on the fingers, then move them up and then all the way up. So you're seeing right in the peripheral vision, the fingers, they're in your attention, but while you're looking straight ahead, okay? If you do that, I swear to God, you can't have any thoughts. Go ahead, try. You can't even think, oh, look, Dr. Ellie's armpits are wet. Nope, you can't even have that thought. You can't think at all. Okay, so go ahead, and you can do that without your fingers too. Does that work? Okay, good. So it's hot here apparently. All right, good. So, and the long-term practice is just meditate. If you meditate every day, this is about fitness. So I have given you a workout today. We worked out, you're going to feel sore. It's going to feel good. And you're not going to be fit because you just worked out once. So if you want to be fit, you get to work out every day and then you will be fit. So I highly encourage you to keep on coming to the brain yoga sessions, listen to them, pick up a meditation app, start a meditation practice, do it all the time. And there's a certain amount of surrender that's necessary. The world is always chaotic. So I call these sessions staying sane and happy in trying times. When are there not trying times? When is everything perfect? Pretty much never. So it's always going to be trying times. We're always living in uncertainty. We are always in a state of total groundlessness, as Pema Chodron likes to put in her most excellent book, which I have mentioned several times before. Things fall apart all the time. So go ahead and practice surrender, practice meditating, and the worry, and also embrace the worry. Say, hey, worry, thank you. I see what you're doing, trying to keep me and my kids safe. Good job. You can go on a little vacation if you want now. Great. Okay, good. Now we got questions coming as I'm trying to close up. I am going to a peaceful practice of 6. How can I keep myself from feeling too emotional during the walk? You know what? It's okay to feel emotional. There is no problem feeling emotional. The problem becomes if you try to bottle it down, then that becomes more difficult to manage. So feel everything is how I would do it. Allow it to just flow through you because you are a conduit for emotion. You are a conduit for all the energy of the universe. Just boom, be the conduit. Don't block the pipe. If you block the pipe, weird stuff happens. So keep the pipes open, let it flow through you and enjoy it. This is about feeling alive. These emotions are happening. Wow, amazing. So now we don't get to say, wow, I really wish I was alive during 1968 when all that crap was happening. Now it's happening to us. So you get to feel that too. Tell it to your grandkids. Okay, good. What else we got here? As an empath, I tend to fuse with people's problems, including worries, pain, etc. How do I practice compassion and be there for people while not being negatively affected? Okay, that's a good one. So, Emma, thank you for sharing. So I also happen to be somebody who feels a lot. I read a book, it was about the highly sensitive person. I'm like, whoa, check that out. I'm a highly sensitive person. And if you're the kind of person who gets a big kick out of music and feels everything more than everybody else and you know, it gets really emotional and starts crying when you see like, you know, somebody's pet dog fakely dying in a movie, then you're probably an empath. You probably are a very sensitive person. So I tend to fuse with people's problems, including worries, pain, et cetera. How do I practice compassion and be there for people while not being negatively affected? I suggest you use the shield. Use the shield. So imagine you have this thing goes up and boom, drops down on you. When I was in medical school, it was tough because if you're in a hospital, you're basically surrounded by pain all day long. And you're like, oh, you poor thing. Ooh, oh, that's terrible. Oh, you know, you got shot. I mean, this stuff is pretty real. So unless you have effective ways of regulating your emotions, which I definitely did not, then you will burn out. You will become less able to help other people. And if the goal is to be a vehicle for giving your gift to the world, then being a perpetual empath and always, you know, showing up for others without taking care of yourself ain't going to cut it. So what do we do? What we're going to do is we're going to practice the shield. So imagine you have this, whoop, this glass shield that drops down on you, your force field, your shield, whatever you want to call it. And it has a filter. It has a filter that allows information to come in. So you can feel a little bit of that emotion, maybe like 5 to 10% of it, without getting overwhelmed. So maybe it's just a matter of quantity for you, right? So you reduce that, and then you can just feel okay with it. And then you can respond in a way that is empathetic without getting overwhelmed. So imagine you have ways of doing it. Imagine a physical apparatus for filtering and then turn it down and see what happens. Okay. Another question is access to recording from yesterday. Okay. So I will post yesterday's recording in a few minutes and today's recording I'll probably post later on tonight or tomorrow. Great question from Trish. Okay. Another question. I'm HSP, a highly sensitive person, but I also conflict avoidant. Is this nature or nurture? And it's probably a little bit of both. So we all have tendencies. We all have proclivities. So you have genes and you have the environment. And if you have the gene, but not the environment, you're probably not going to manifest the trait too strongly. If you have the environment, but not the gene, you're probably not going to manifest the trait too strongly. If you have both the environment and the gene, boom, it pops up. So whatever you're feeling is usually a mixture of both. The exact mix, who knows? But usually it's a question of both susceptibility and environmental factors. Okay, good. We're up at an hour and 3 minutes after. And the recordings will be posted at happinessengineering.com. So look for the top post there and I will have the recordings posted for you. And thank you all for coming today. May you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be at ease. And may you be totally asymptomatic and healthy for as long as possible. Thank you so much. Have a great day. And let me know your thoughts. Bye-bye. Bye.